camera in their pocket. Does anybody have a clue, even you, even the district attorney, even the Supreme Court, have a clue of exactly what rights they have to take your picture whenever they damn well feel like it and pass it out versus your right to privacy? Does anybody have any idea where that line is?
That has not been determined yet by the law, by the courts.
Well, I'm with Conor McGregor on this one. I'm not a fan of his, but I'm with him on this one. I'm just like I was with Sonny Corleone when he busted everybody's cameras and threw the $100 bills down saying, it's my sister's wedding, don't be taking pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a line here.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Well, the other interesting point about people taking videos with their cell phones right now is that it never tells the full story. Because
even if it did.
Well, no, but most of the times it can't. Unless it's premeditated and the person taking the video is aware of what's happening or is part of the setup for it. But otherwise, like if you were having an argument with somebody on the street right now, my camera's in my pocket. By the time I hear your argument, I look to find out where the argument is. I see you and this other person arguing. That takes some time for me to get out my camera and get to the video point. So all I see on the video is the guy throwing a punch at you and you punching him back. Who started it? Well, you don't know because there's another couple of minutes in advance of that that's not captured on the video. And yeah, I mean, there have been a couple of examples where that has happened, and you just don't know what happened before the video started rolling.
I'm talking about something very simple.
Oh no, well, I agree with you on the privacy. There's a really big issue on privacy, and there are a lot of privacy concerns of people just walking down the street. That's even true for the government right now when you've got all the surveillance cameras around the streets. You know, on the one hand, people like it because it's safety. You can identify people who have committed crimes, but if you're just walking, you're Robert Kraft walking into a strip mall, so to speak, and your photo is taken on a camera in the parking lot.
Well, I mean, if for those of you who don't know, Brenna was just recently happily married,
mm-hmm.
a terrific lady. Now, this week, if I could pull it together, I was trying to get two females to get their days together. I was going to take Jay-Z and Steph. Out for pizza or something tomorrow mm-hmm. night. Now, suppose you came with, and I'm in the men's room, so there's not two guys there, and somebody runs out and takes a picture of you, or just sees you, doesn't necessarily maybe like you, starts taking pictures of you with two smoking hot younger ladies, and just goes viral at the thing, and it gets back to Val. Now, what right mm-hmm. does... Now, you're not doing anything other than having dinner with people we work with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but what gives somebody the right to do that? And if you see him, why can't you grab it and basically shove it where the sun don't shine?
Mm-hmm. Well, there is a distinction between a private person and a celebrity. Like, and this is one of the things with the paparazzi.
Okay, but you're on our show. Does that make you a celebrity?
Not to the level of a Princess Diana or a Michael Jackson or George Clooney or anybody like that.
Well, there was a picture. Not that I saw this, but it went viral a few years ago. It was a lady that used to be all over the place, blonde hair. You don't hear too much about her anymore. She's the heiress to something or other.
Oh, Paris Hilton?
Yeah, Paris Hilton. Well, Jay-Z, shut your tender ears. Paris Hilton is coming out of her car. And, of course, she didn't have any underwear on.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy gets basically the shot I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, now me, of course, that doesn't bother me that much, but I'm wondering, where the hell was this guy? It's mm-hmm. From the angle, it looked to me like he had to have his head, like, in a drainage thing or something. Like, he actually was under the street.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, if you sit there doing it, I don't care if you're a celebrity or not, why does somebody get to take a picture of you get out of the car up your skirt from underneath the street? I mean,
mm-hmm.
what are we doing here? I mean, I don't like the lady, but she doesn't deserve that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the thing is, she might have liked it. I don't know. But I'm saying maybe she. You know, I'm not going to accuse her of that. But I'm saying. You know, who the hell knows about this stuff? But we seem to be losing some common sense in the that we always seem to do whenever
and common decency.
Well, whenever the technology runs ahead of the whatever. NASDAQ futures up 75 cents. Got SP futures down. Down $1.50, Dow futures down 64. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it is time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1 month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now.
Well, North Bay Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell, arguing with Brendan on the break, which you were supposed to do. I guess we should have put that on the air. Brendan's accusing me of all kinds of things over here. But anyway, S&P futures down 2.25. NASDAQ futures down 2.25. Dow futures is down more than that because of the, find that exactly, because I got all kinds of stuff going here. I'm trying to find out the history of airline groundings. I find a lot of groundings of new planes, but I don't find too many because they crashed. I mean, usually some of the 787 was grounded because of the fires, remember?
Yeah.
Anyway, Dow futures down 64. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX is down 22.2. Remember, everybody was up yesterday pretty heavy. FTSE up 28.4% as they're gaining some ground in this Brexit. A lot has to do with his backstop changes, and I was reading last night, hoping I could give a full report this morning, but the fact is, even the Brits are bringing it back and having all their lawyers read the thing before they comment, Brennan. So I'm thinking tomorrow or the next day I can try and give a report because it's really not even out yet.
No.
So what's in the thing. Kekron down 11. That's up 0.2%. Over in Asia, we've got some rallies. We've got the Nikkei up 378. That's almost 2%, 1.8. Shanghai up 33, 1.1. Hang Seng up 417, 1.5. Because I think they believe that if the Britain thing is over, that somehow or another their thing, Chinese and the U.S. will be resolved. I don't know about that.
I don't know about that.
Would
you like to be a banker right now in London? I mean, that was a plum position. If you were one of the international banks, getting signed to London.
I think they'll be all right. I mean, oil up 46 cents, 57.25, went up 53. Quick one on gold will be right there. Gold up 5.10, 12.96. Silver up 15 cents. Hey, Joel, how are you?
Good morning, Chief. How you doing on this Tuesday morning?
Fine. Speaking of bankers in London, we have Joel.
A banker in Detroit, the Motor City.
That's a suburb of London, isn't it?
Aren't you close to London, Ontario? So you're a suburb of London?
We're not too far away. It's a pretty nice little town, historical town. I was there once, I believe, for an anniversary celebration. I believe it's about 2-3 hours away from here, maybe 4.
You know what they have there? My uncle used to go there all the time because they have a whole bunch of presses. They used to do all kinds of magazines and things up there. By the way, Jay-Z, have a throw in us traffic, weather, sports before we get too involved.
Alrighty. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. The time is now 6:38. Chicago weather is clear and sunny today. Lucky us. We're due for some sunny weather. High is 49. Low is 29. Phoenix is looking pretty rainy today with a high of 59. Low 53. In basketball, the Suns and the Bulls were both off. In NCAA, Gonzaga beat Pepperdine 100-74. And in hockey, the Blackhawks crushed the Coyotes, ending the game 7-1. In Chicago traffic here today, there is a stall on the Kennedy going east just before North Ave, causing delays up to 20 minutes, and that is all. Back to you.
It's not all. There was an accident that caused a chief to hit the side streets and be late.
Well, it's cleaned up now.
Yes, it is. Anyway, Joel, again, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good here. Not especially pleased with my basketball team here, but, you know, we got the Big Ten tournament, we got March Madness, and we need to get Charles Matthews healthy.
The guy from Duke, I guess, is going to play this week.
Zion, yep. I mean, there's a lot. This tournament, I mean, it's going to be wide open. You know, you got the possibility of two or three number one seeds come out of the ACC here with Duke, North Carolina, Virginia for sure. Gonzaga rated number one. I mean, things are pretty wide open. I just, you know, I know at the beginning of the year I was pounding the table like Duke, but with the Zion Williamson injury, we'll just have to see how he comes back from it, from shoe gate.
Well, do you think I heard that sometimes somebody from North Carolina got all of his shoes.
Yeah, they did something to him, but it's funny because that price action in Nike, I mean, it rebounded right from that back to a new all-time high. It's kind of sold off a little bit, but a lot of good sports coming up. Looking forward to the I will miss the first round of the Big Ten tournament, though. I will not be able to watch that first game, Chief.
I'm not going to ask you what you're up to. You're probably out doing some clandestine, you're like repossessing cars or what?
No. Just to show you my non-sports, non-market cultural side. We happened to buy tickets for Hamilton in Detroit, and we bought them a long, long time ago, and they were very hard to get. We can't turn them in, so I made the supreme sacrifice. I don't know whether or not I'm just going to go into the bubble and wait and find out, you know, and then watch the game afterwards, but I'm not too good on that. I imagine I'll be taking a look at my phone once or twice during that game.
No, my this is one of those things where the wife bought the tickets. He's outraged, but he's the regular guy. He decides to just suck it up and say it was really his idea and just roll with it.
I definitely wanted to see it, and at the time that we purchased it, I didn't realize, you know, didn't look for the Big Ten tournament and stuff, but, you know, I look at it, you know, if they win, boom, we're playing Saturday, I'm set for that, and if we lose, I didn't want to see it anyways. It's a good possibility we're going to be playing Iowa, and, Iowa, they beat us pretty good down in Iowa City when we played them. So it could be a tough matchup. We have won the Big Ten tournament 2 years in a row, so expectations to win it three years in a row are a little bit lofty. But I think Beilein still has something in the tank. I think, you know, he usually comes up with good strategies later in the year. So I'm hoping Matthews gets healthy and Beilein pulls out a few new tricks going into the Big Ten tournament and then the big dance.
Are we all impressed with Joel's cultural? And make sure if you have any wine there, keep your pinky up.
Yeah, no, it's not noon yet. But I thought I'd share that with you. I thought you'd get a kick out of that team. Now, if it was a Michigan Ohio State game, home game, then there might have to be some more negotiations. It's only a Big Ten tournament game. I will not have my phone on video during the play, though. I just want you to know that. To that low level.
I'm going to guess they're going to tell you to turn the phone off, but I'm just guessing.
If only you were in the room.
Yeah.
Exactly. Chief, how do you like this the rollover last week and the moves up to triple witching hour here?
Pretty wild.
Broadwitch.
But, you know, you have been the man who's talked most about it on the show, that if we're going up, everybody gets out of the way. If we're going down, everybody gets out of the way. There's no bouncing. Yesterday, the Spiders were at 278-12 or something at like 230, and the 278 puts were like 12 cents. There was no thought in anybody's mind that these guys must have the orders for the next half hour. I've never seen it this. I mean, in my world, when I traded the 19 years I was down there, there always was some chance that you didn't know what was going to happen. Now, you just sit there and go, there's no way this thing's going down. I mean, these guys absolutely know. The straddle was like 50 cents at quarter after two. And you know, and there's been times when it's been $2 at quarter after two when we're actually going to move. I mean, it's pretty scary. What do you make of, I know you watch this stuff. How do you trade? Do you trade? Can you trade a Boeing right now?
Oh, well, yesterday, yes. Today is going to be a lot more difficult. And you know, Chief, I like to get technical on you, right? I, you know, pay attention a lot to the technicals. And, if anybody, is at home and they look at a Boeing chart, from the last earnings report, they had a huge gap up, and a gap up in prices simply means that the high or the low of the day does not fall within the previous day's range. And, lo and behold, you had a gap up. This was back on January 21st, and it left a void in the market between 380.50 and 367.78. So when I was looking at it early, I'm like, hey, it's gonna, you know, there's a good chance it's gonna, you know, have a gap fill here. Is it worth the buy? And if you watch it go to 365.55 and fill the gap, you blinked, and it was back above that.
Yep.
So technically, I'm looking at that low from yesterday. Also, and I look at things, I try and take the attitude of, okay, what if I was short Boeing all this time since earnings here and just get me jammed down my throat? And here I have an opportunity basically to buy it almost 85 points off its all-time high. So I think you had a couple factors yesterday. You know, you had the shorts using the opportunity to cover. And then, you know, longs here, I mean, you have to be patient of what do you want to do with your long-term position here. So I think moving forward, I'm going to watch this shake out. 400.01, that was your close from yesterday. I'll keep an eye on that as resistance. And if they can stay above that low for yesterday, I think you're just going to see a major chop fest between those two levels until you get some definitive answer from the company or from the FAA. So far, the FAA is backing and saying it's airworthy, but other countries are suspending flights. So
do you trust
technical yesterday? Today, it's going to be a little bit more of a mishmash.
Do you trust Alina Cho to do anything right?
No comment.
You don't have to answer that. All right, bud. Take care of yourself. Talk to you next week.
Okay.
SP Futures down $1.50. Be right back. Stacks and Jacks. Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, if they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. It might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters. The Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Loan Rope Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Ali, Mr. Brendan Cornett. She's Jay-Z on the board. SP futures down 1.25. NASDAQ futures down 1. Jay-Z, your job is going to be so much easier the next few days with this weather forecast you gave. You know, you do realize that.
I know. You're actually, like, my mom walked out this morning and she was like, oh, it's so cold. I was like, actually, I think it's kind of nice this morning.
Your buddy has reached the point since you saw him last. She's watching Maddie's dog. He does not do rain. He's become very... He's the oldest 1.5-year-old dog I've ever come across. He's got his routine now, and he's only 1.5.
He doesn't like rain.
Doesn't do rain. He'll do snow, but he doesn't. Rain, he's like, what do you got me down here for? And if it's dark and rainy, he is, what are you waking me up for?
There could be some problems with that if he won't go outdoors outside. Well,
if you drag him out, if he really needs to, it's a 30-second dash down the steps and back.
Mm-hmm.
And he's 1.5, and he's a terrier. he's acting like he's 12 already, for God's sake. The poor guy. I'm reading here about the groundings of planes, and the MD-80s were grounded in September 20th, 2013. And inspect the jet's evacuation slides. I mean, there's been a lot of groundings, but not really too many for stuff crashing. And, you know, I mean, it's a big decision because it'll play some carnage with the, you know, the people with flight delays and things like that. Plus, unless you really know, Brennan, how do you know when it's fixed?
Mm-hmm. That's right. You don't know when it's fixed.
But let's just say that the 2 out of, what, 100 and some delivered is... Is it 100 and someone delivered?
I don't know how many have been delivered.
It's a pretty awful number.
I think that there has to be more than that, because I thought I heard that Southwest has 34 of these.
I think they got 53, actually.
Southwest is of the max?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
So I have to believe...
Can you grab a 737 max deliveries to date? Most of them have been to overseas.
Yeah, but I have to believe that if Southwest has 34 or 53, that there's got to be more than 100.
Actually, you know, I think the number might be 370. But Jay-Z, if you could check that for us,
that makes a little bit more sense.
But most of them are like China Air, and a lot of them are overseas. I mean, mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons why, you know, China was building part of them. They wanted the first ones.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's kind of like we go through this part between, and this is the thing with the tariffs and. I actually get a load of this. I was over at Odds on Saturday, and her friend, who really, really nice girl. Well, she's older, but she's a terrific lady, and she watches and tries to learn as much as she can. Watches the PBS and all these other kinds of places, and she finally corrals me over Chinese Channel. She goes, "All right, explain to me exactly how these tariffs work. I can't get a straight story anywhere." And she goes, first of all, why can't I get a straight story?" I said, "Well, you've got a president who's telling you the Chinese are paying for it, which isn't true." And she goes, "Well, who exactly is paying for it?" I said, "Well, paying for
you
it."
You are?
Well, I said, paying for it is an odd word. The simple fact is, you are. I mean, the definition is whenever it lands on this country's shore, the bill of lading, somebody walks out, and if it's, you know, widgets, and the widgets have a 10% tariff, and it's $100,000 worth of widgets there, they collect a check for $10,000 from the importer, correct?
Yes.
But now, in terms of who's paying for it, and I've gone over this a couple times, if they're the sole supplier of widgets in the world, which happens, mm-hmm. This is on a scale of 1 to 10, and you can't get them anywhere else, it depends again on what the next, is there some kind of a complementary good for this thing? Is there something else you could use? The answer is no. The purest form is the widget, instead of being 100 hours, when you go in to buy it tomorrow, is 110.
Mm-hmm.
If there's any sort of complimentary good from somewhere else, it maybe isn't as good, but you still could use it.
Sorry, jumping in really quick. That number you asked for was 330.
330? Okay, thank you. Does it have a breakdown? On Southwest, I think it's got 53. We'll see if she goes back. But the it's not usually a full 100%. Okay, who eats the rest? The retailer probably.
Yeah, unless he can get the price changed from the supplier.
Right.
The overseas supplier.
But, I mean, it's still going to be $109.50.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's kind of the purest thing. Now, if it's a perfectly competitive item where there's 58 different countries producing the damn thing, and they're all $100, and all of a sudden you got a tariff just on China,
mm-hmm.
Well, chances are China's going to probably run it through Korea or someplace and mm-hmm. not pay, which is very possible. But if it lands here, if you charge that thing, I'm going to say that the importer says to the Chinese guy, "Hey, look it. If you want me to pay 10% on this thing, I'm only paying you $91 because 10% of the 91 would get you to 100, right, or mm-hmm. close to it, not 90. If you want, you better cut your price to 91. So, in essence, if that happens, then China is quote eating the tariff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they're still not paying the tariff.
Mm-hmm.
You're still paying it, or the importer is paying it, but it doesn't affect you on the shelf.
Right.
But I'm going to say that's, you know, what percent of the time is that happening? Not very many.
Well, again, it goes back to your point as to what is the widget that's being distributed,
right,
and
correct.
How many other companies around the world and other countries are able to make comparable widgets.
But the simple definition is it may be harming the Chinese
mm-hmm.
to some piece of the tariff, but they under no circumstances are they paying for it.
No. And in no circumstances will it be 100% of the tariff value that they're eating.
Despite what your president may say to you.
Mm-hmm.
That the Chinese are paying for it. And one of them said they're writing checks for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, we're putting the checks into our treasury.
Yeah, but I ask you this. With this, we're up to $55, $60 billion in the last year in tariffs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I can't find, Brendan, I can't find a breakdown. There must be someplace somewhere where somebody really good on the Internet, say Jay-Z, if she had some time, there's got to be a comparison somewhere between what the tariffs would be currently under the old tariffs and what they are now. Because it's not fair, even though if I was a politician, especially a slimy one, which we seem to have a bunch of, I would say we're paying $55, $60 billion in tariffs. But now that would be an inaccurate statement. Well, not inaccurate, because it's true, but there always were some tariffs.
Mm-hmm.
So if none of this would have happened, there still are tariffs. I don't know if the still are tariffs part would be $10 billion or $40. So I don't know how much more we're getting because of the new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because despite what people think that there's free trade, there isn't free trade. There's always been tariffs on sugar. There's been tariffs on a lot of stuff because we're protecting this person, that person, everybody, right? There's always been tariffs on steel. There's always been tariffs. The big tariffs with Canada are always on wood products, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So there's always been tariffs, just nobody knows about them. You know, or nobody thinks to look about them and you're never told about them.
And, so, we're used to the price valuations embedded in those.
Right. We're used to paying, I'm going to say, what's the tariff on sugar? 4 cents a pound or something? 2, 3? Doesn't sound like much, but how many pounds of sugar do you think we go through a year?
A lot.
And the real reason for tariffs, and people say, why isn't there just a free economy? Well, Trump, and he does say stuff right once in a while. You know, if you can have a defense industry, you can't have every single steel company in China. Because if you're going to build an aircraft carrier, you'd like to be able to source the steel here if you needed it, because what if they cut you off?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Japan.
Or what if there's something in the production stream that isn't quite up to par because they know that's going to be used for U.S. fighter planes?
Right. Well, Japan, you can't expect the Japanese government to say we're not going to be able to grow any of our own rice.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they didn't have tariffs on rice, guess what? Vietnam and the U.S. would put every single Japanese rice farmer out of business in 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with, you know, Canadian dairy farmers. Same thing with U.S. forestry people, because the Canadians would put us out of business in 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So it works both ways. And everybody has their kind of sacred cow. And usually for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go to one of these things, the Canadian guys go, I got to protect my dairy guys. And we're going to say, we got to protect our logging guys. And that's why people go and have these meetings and why you're supposed to have pretty bright people there. You come out at the end of the day something that's agreeable to everybody, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not just you go and you stamp on the thing and you walk out with your top coat and your long tie and your funny hair. You know, I mean, the whole thing, and the reaction to this, instead of having somebody normal in the middle, we've got people crazed on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Are we moving to Italy? Where are we going? Ireland, maybe? Let's be futures down 75.
As long as it's not Venezuela.
Yeah. Nasdaq futures down 75 cents. Can we get dual citizenship only in Ireland, or can we do it in Italy as well? Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com, or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's john@PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe. She's Jay-Z on the board, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And somehow you guys, of course, I gave you the traffic report, Jay-Z, and you guys did better than me coming in.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, it was, here was the traffic report. They said, well, between Division and Ohio, Kennedy was jammed. So I said, okay, I'll get on it anyway, because if I needed to, I'd get off right at Ogden, which is only a couple blocks away, and scoot in like on Grand Avenue and Des Plaines. So I go to get off on Ogden, and I realized that they were wrong on the report. The accident was right there. So all I had to do was stay another 100 yards, and I was going to be by it. So I called Jay-Z and said, you're going to run into some traffic. We just stick with it. The backup's only for about a block and a half. So at least I gave, as I was drowning, I gave her the life preserver. Threw her the life preserver, yeah, kind of a thing. The S&P futures down 75 cents. Dow futures down 64, mainly because of Boeing. Boeing is on 866. Now, for those of you who don't know, The multiplier, I should know this exactly, but I don't, but it's roughly around 720. So if you're down $9, it's like $65 in the Dow. So it's kind of odd that $1 move in the Dow is like a $7 move in the average, Brennan, but it is. It wouldn't be what people would necessarily think of intuitively, would they?
Nope.
But it is. After all the splits and everything else through the years and all the new companies and all the crazy stuff. Hey, I was reading something interesting last night as I was... Last week we had a couple of tweets and they were talking about companies and people being, kind of screwers of the world in corporate positions. And when I always go back to one of the things that I'm kind of a history of railroading nut. And so the virtually every dirty trick that any corporation has ever done was done by railroads. I mean, they were masters at it.
Yeah.
And, the guys like Durant, who was the Rock Island guy, and who was the Jay Gold? Jay Gold made the guys from Enron look like pikers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was an absolute... What did the guy own at some point or another, like 50 different railroads? I mean, just bought and sold them, chopped them up, moved them around. I mean, he was... Talk about the guy busy,
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't realize how involved, because I had read this before. When you read it again, you always get much better. Abraham Lincoln was in railroads. He was absolutely the most, probably the most renowned railroad attorney of the time.
Hmm.
But he was the attorney for the Illinois Central, and at one point, Illinois Central had 700 miles of track in Illinois, which is more than like any other railroad. And when again, a piece of trivia, talk about people used to fight over the darndest things. The first bridge over the Mississippi for a railroad was the Rock Island Bridge. And of course, the people in the steamboat industry were not too happy with this. So what do you suppose happened, Brandon?
I don't know. What happened?
Maybe then? One night a steamboat ran into one of the bridge abutments and wrecked the bridge.
Just accidentally? Because the bridge didn't have lights on it, right?
Well, something. Yeah, it was always some. So who represented the Rock Island against the steamship company was Abraham Lincoln.
Hmm.
And he actually won a Supreme Court decision. It said you have a right to build a bridge across the river, and then the steamboat people just got to deal with it and, like, dodge it.
Hmm.
And a lot of interesting stuff. And they were talking about the inventions that we made here that they didn't really make in Europe till later that were incredible for the industry and actually caused the railroad industry to move forward. What do you suppose they were? Obviously, you had wheels on the tracks all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And as your locomotives got bigger... The rotating truck on the front of the locomotive that steered the drive wheels. If you didn't do that, the thing just kept constantly running off. If your locomotives got bigger, the thing just kept running off the rails.
Mm-hmm.
And the rotating truck on your other cars. I mean, if you don't realize when you plunk your rail car down, you see the four wheels. Well, those four wheels can move. So they essentially run around the track and can turn.
Mm-hmm.
Not turn, but they're short enough wheelbase to where they can turn. That's allowed trains to be bigger and cars to be bigger. I didn't even realize what a major invention that was.
Hmm.
Anyway.
Well, the other part of that was when the was uniform width of railroad tracks.
Abraham Lincoln did that as well.
Because up until that time, different private railroads had different widths, and then they decided to have a uniform width for all rails so that the trains could use other trains' rail stations.
And I'm going to say he made a mistake there. Because gauge in the south was 5 feet. Guess what the gauge in the north was?
I don't know, 7?
4 feet, 8.5 inches.
The width of a chariot.
And he chose the 4 feet, 8.5 inches, and if he had to do over it again, I think he'd rather have the 5 foot width.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's fine the way it is, but it would be a little more stable. You probably could run heavier trains if you were 5 foot width.
Mm-hmm. Well, I heard at one point that was determined because that was the width of the average chariot in ancient Rome.
I think it had more to do with more northern rail was that width, and the southern was 5.
Mm-hmm.
He essentially made the decision which one they were going west with.
Mm-hmm.
And once they decided to go west with it, then everybody said, "Well, we better all get back to the 4.8."
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I think it's easier to narrow it than it was to widen it.
Mm-hmm.
If your tunnels and stuff were the
wrong
for
side. Tunnels and also easements because it adds space.
But the reason what got me into all this is that when the idiots not individually, I wouldn't call it a person an idiot, collectively came out and said it's going to be another 3 years for the Jane Byrne interchange.
Oh, yeah.
It took 4 years from start to finish, from Omaha to Sacramento. These guys are going to be nine.
Through and over mountains as well.
Yeah. It's what, 27 tunnels or 57 tunnels mm-hmm. or something? And how many cuts and stuff? And then these guys are going to be 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have any concept of history? what was the Hoover Dam? 3 years? Golden mm-hmm. Gate Bridge was 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
This thing? 10?
Yeah.
I mean, for God's sake. All right, Brennan, what is somebody you're in the, you've just retired, but obviously you got an awful lot of people that you know that aren't retired, and you have, I assume, some investments and everything, but you're out of the loop than I am, where you're watching people's money all day and the run-ups and run-downs that you're constantly moving with. What do people feel the economy and the market, their investments going forward? Do they feel, I just talked to somebody yesterday that was pretty much long the whole 8 to 9 years, and I think did very, very well. And now he found us because he knows that I have a protective program. He's like, I don't think the next 10 years are going to be like the last 10 years, so I want something different. I want some protection. I just want to roll with it the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And are people even thinking that way, or are they just, don't worry, it'll be fine, the Fed will keep throwing money in, and every year we're going to go. It seems like to most people that story has to be getting a little old.
Yeah, I think it is. I think that, you know, the too big to fail, or that the federal government is going to step in and protect us, isn't going to be the case much longer, or isn't the case right now. I think people are skeptical about that.
But have they actually made the move?
Some have. Some of the people I've talked to are trying to hedge a little bit more than they would have in the past because they're afraid.
What does a day like yesterday do? I mean, obviously we came flying up from the Christmas Eve lows, and everybody, you know, the talking heads are, the gang's all back together again. And last week we had a pretty crummy week.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden yesterday we have this huge up day. Does it give you that? I get the feeling that a lot of people are thinking that way, but that pulling the trigger still hasn't happened. You don't have somebody, but I've got people that are sending me portfolios out of the blue.
Well, I think a bigger concern that people have right now is not only on the investment side, but for things like healthcare issues and what is going to happen with healthcare issues. And with the budget that was proposed yesterday, it looks like there's more of a chance of things like Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security being hit in the near future. And that has a tremendous ripple effect on people who are, you know, upper middle aged and retirement age and elderly. It has a tremendous impact on them, and they're scared. They're scared of what's going to happen.
I don't know. Brennan, I think it comes off sometimes. And one thing you do learn after a period of time when you're on the air, and now that you've been on a lot and getting pretty good at it, by the way, you learn it's not what you say, it's what people hear.
Mm-hmm.
And I know as an attorney, you learned that long before I did. Let's put it that way. As a trader, if I said I'm 3/8 bid, it was pretty clear I was 3/8 bid. Mm-hmm. It was a simple world, you know.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't an easy world, but it was a simple world. And you learn the way. The thing that shudders me the most, how's that for a term, about the, and I call them essentially stooges from, not that they're not bright, not that they're not very skilled at what they do, and not that they got these jobs not because they're dummies. I honestly believe that the reason why they don't know is because they don't care. The top 20 people in this administration and the top 20 people that are on the snipping side of the Democrats have absolutely no knowledge whatsoever of, not none, but very little knowledge about the numbers and what happens to people at every, you know, the first quartile, second quartile, third quartile of the population.
Mm-hmm.
And what current things are doing to them, and what an initial tax or what this does to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that makes me very afraid, honestly. I think some people, Roosevelt, the more you read about him, the more on a daily basis he had literally streams of people coming into the Oval Office, and his mind was like a sponge.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about what's happening at your place. Tell me about what's happening here. They sent the one lady out in a car to drive around the country,
yeah,
and send letters back. What's it like in coal company, country mm-hmm. we really don't know here? What's it like in Sharecropperville? Well, it was pretty darn awful. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think these guys have any thirst for that knowledge whatsoever.
And I don't think there's an intellectual curiosity about what's going on. The positions are theoretical on both sides, Republican and Democrat sides. The opinions are very theoretical and more entrenched.
And I could roll with the AOCs and Elizabeth Warrens of the world.
Mm-hmm.
If they had the curiosity, not necessarily because it's us, you know, to listen to this show and say, you know what, I'm going to be in Chicago next week. Let's go have coffee with those two idiots, Chief and Brendan, and let's find out why exactly those guys think a tax on this, A, there's no money there, and B, it's kind of useless.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about, you know, the one senator who was ranting and raving about the quick twitch, the high-frequency trading,
mm-hmm.
and how this is the only way you can combat it is put a tax on it. No, there isn't.
No.
tell people you can't trade between the bid and the offer.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, you throw a wrench in that business and the thing will blow.
A tax won't do anything to that.
No, I mean, but their attitude is, if I can get some money, it might work, it may not. You know, but it doesn't seem like, if I were, I was almost going to send this guy, ask Maddie to send him a tweet saying, you know what, I'll meet you halfway, I'll meet you in Cleveland, I'll sit down for an hour and tell you why you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they have any interest. I don't think they do.
No.
And that's what troubles me, because why is it me, just some schlump here doing a podcast, if you know, there's something about groundings of airlines tonight, I'm going to go home and look it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I want to be able to tell people tomorrow, this is true, and by the way, I just looked it up, and here's where I got it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these guys don't seem to care, and yet they're making all kinds of dough. People are throwing money at them, and you and I are sitting here just doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why does it bother me? It does. Maybe it's my sell-side thing or something.
Mm-hmm.
Where am I wrong here?
The other thing is when positions become entrenched, there's no going back even a little bit. And, you know, a lot of times people change over the course of time. And they realize that the position they took when they were 18 or 28 is different.
They're a flip-flopper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then tweet, you're a flip-flopper.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I mean, the argument gets a little bit better to understand if you're saying, well, that was when I was 18 or that was when I was 25 and I'm 60 now. But it also can happen if it was something that happened 5 years ago and now you've done more research and you've got a legitimate reason for changing your position, other than you think it's politically expedient to go from pro-immigration to anti-immigration overnight.
So you're not Claude Rains? No, Jay-Z, who's Claude Rains?
I don't know.
He was the
Casablanca.
Casablanca, he was...
Never seen it.
Oh, God. No.
Oh.
I told Chief to make me a list of of movies that I should see, but he never did it, so...
Greatest movie of all time, even better than Citizen Kane, which often gets a lot of accolades for that. Oh, there are so many great lines in Casablanca.
It was the one where I put my finger up to the political wind, and the political wind is coming from Vichy, so I'm Vichy.
Mm-hmm. Why'd you come to the desert? For the waters. We're in a desert. I was misinformed.
Yes. You got the one right there about gambling. I mean, it's...
Oh, yeah. I'm shocked.
The
here are your winnings, sir.
our buddy Al Grace told me that he was a big fan of that movie, too. He said that they were all done filming for the day, and Humphrey Bogart was basically in a saloon across the street. They decided they wanted to do one more scene, and so he dragged him out of the bar and brought him over. It was the scene when the band was going to play the...
La Marseillaise?
The Nazi guys come in and wanted to play the German song, and then the band started playing was going to play the French song.
Mm-hmm.
So they dragged Humphrey Bogart over there, and he walked in, and he stood there. He looked at him, and he gave his head. He gave one nod, then turned around and walked out. He went back to the bar, evidently. Brexit. We're shifting around here, but these are all top topics today. How much? Brussels keeps fighting for this deal, and again, I'll give the Brussels does not want Britain to leave, right? And then some of the big people in Britain don't want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes down to, you leave into what? And in the European Union, the remaining European Union has several levels of trade with people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe I keep saying this. One of them, Finland, Sweden, and Norway. One of them is not in the union. Yet they have, their trade agreement is like 95% of if they were in the union. it's like the Sweden deal.
Mm-hmm.
Then for people just under that, they have an open markets deal. It's not as good, but it's with like Canada because they love Canada. And then there's a deal worse than that, which like we got. Our deal is not as good as Canada's, and it's clearly not as good as Sweden's. We don't export eggs. We don't export agricultural stuff over there only until they need them. So we really have more of a problem really trading with Europe on a lot of levels than we do with China.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think we export really any corn or soybeans over there unless they have a drought and all of a sudden they want us. I mean, the answer, you know, I'm not specific on none, but it's not very much. Cause that's the reason kind of why the economic union is there. So Germany essentially locks up customers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in Italy and you're buying butter and eggs, you're buying it from Germany.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not buying it from us. So the fight is Brussels wants to make it as painful as possible for Britain to leave so nobody else does. And some of the people in Britain don't seem to want to leave, so they keep coming back with these deals. And the first deal they came back with was a deal that was almost as onerous as the first one, with the caveat that you can't vote your way out of this one. So if you're an everyday Brit with an ounce of brains, say, wait a minute. The deal's almost as bad as the one I just bleep canned, and now I can't vote my way out of this one. I'm not taking that.
Mm-hmm.
And it steadily kind of improved a little bit, you know. And evidently, the thing they're holding over their head is if they don't agree, they're going to have to put border checkpoints between Northern and Southern Ireland.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest points that is frustrating the Brits right now, because they're going to have some type of border protection, either a wall or something.
Why don't they just say they're not doing it? We're leaving, and by the way, we're not doing it. We're not putting a wall up between the two islands.
Well, that would put them in violation of the European Union agreements.
But they're leaving it.
I know. But European Union will say is, you can no longer come into our country with your goods unless you agree to these terms. We are going to stop the flow of your products coming across the border to be sold in Ireland.
Because Northern Ireland is still in the Union.
Yeah.
Correct?
No. Northern Ireland is part of the United Kingdom.
Right, so Southern Ireland is still going to be in the European Union.
The Republic of Ireland.
Right.
Yes, the Republic of Ireland is still in the EU. And they are going to come out okay in this, because Dublin is now one of the places that a lot of banks and corporations are going to go to if they have to leave London.
I don't think they're going to have to leave London, and I think the Brits have enough on their side, especially if they cut really good deals with us, which I have to believe that we'd be open to. I don't know I think, like in any negotiation, Mr. President, I think you can push your side too far.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if Brussels isn't doing that.
Well, there's always the possibility for overreaching. And that's true with, you know, Trump's position on this, where he wanted to get a hard deal with Britain if they left the Union. It was part of the threat that he made. Obama had made that too. And effectively, they're saying to Great Britain, you have to start over in your negotiation with us for the deal. And that's going to take a lot of time. And we're going to force ways to so that we get the upper hand on this. The EU is going to say the same thing, because this is damaging politically to the EU to have a big partner like this pull out of the European Union.
But if you're a British partner, and there's no question, Brendan, if I was in Britain, I would have voted out.
Mm-hmm.
What started as a little bit of a history here, and I'm not, Brendan might know it better than me, so if you do, please chime in. The whole idea was originally a common market.
Mm-hmm.
Correct, and then people said, "Well, what's stopping us?" And I used to, one time, I drove from Amsterdam to where the hell did I go? Sweden. Not Sweden, Denmark. Not Copenhagen, but down in the boot part. And we crossed how many borders? And every time you had to get out, and they're checking you over and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
They knew we were four idiots from the U.S. that didn't have anything, so we just went right through. But everybody else. These poor students, every time they cross, they're emptying out the station wagon, the stuff they're bringing to school in the rain. I mean, talk about a pain in the ass. But
mm-hmm.
So everybody said, look, we want a common border crossing, we want a common passport, we don't need all this stuff. And it's like going, every time you went to Indiana, you had to have your car searched or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said, okay, we're going to have this common union, which made some sense. The Brits didn't go with the currency part, but they said, we're in for the rest of the stuff. Well, meantime, Brussels gets this, quote, government, that starts making rules that everybody has to go with. The people in Britain are like going, what are you doing? We got our own parliament here. We don't need you guys making rules on. But they start making rules that cover everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Migration is the big one, but it's not just migration. I mean, Lou said that the week of the voting, they came out with a list of rules about what your teapot, what your teapot's supposed to be like. And the British had their own teapot, and it was like the straw that broke the camel's back.
Mm-hmm.
They're telling us how to make our own teapots now. I mean, they never sign up for that. They said, we don't need these bureaucrats sitting there all day long waiting for what to do to tell us what to do, like we have in this country now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably the reason why they vote out, not because they don't want a common market, and not because they don't want common borders. They don't want these guys thinking that they govern Britain,
mm-hmm.
which they do think they govern Britain. I mean, like any bureaucrat, they just keep grabbing more and more power, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're going to need that.
Or this, presidents.
Yeah, we're going to need this here in somewhere in the next 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to need either a president to come in or something to happen where you fire half these bureaucrats and say, whatever you do, I don't know what you do, we just don't need it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I honestly believe that because otherwise it just keeps encroaching, Brendan. Keeps encroaching. I mean, you look at even simple stuff like mortgage applications. Somebody says, well, if you're 100 hours off, you can't give the person 100 bucks. Well, why not? Because we can't. We don't allow that. We got to wire the money in. I've got the 100 hours right here. Let's just give it to them and go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't take a check. Why not? Is there any history of you having a bounce check? Well, no.
Okay, it's a certified check.
Can't use a certified check.
I know.
They're definitely out.
I know.
You know. So, I mean, but I'm saying, whose job is it to just make rule after rule after rule to make their livelihood?
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of these rules come from bad experiences. You know, it's a counteraction to something bad that was discovered. Like a lot of the rules for wire transfers right now are because you don't know if the money, if a farmer comes in and wants to buy a farm and wants to pay half of the cost in cash, where'd you get the money?
Why does anybody have to know?
Is it drug money?
Why does anybody have to know?
Because if you're laundering drug money, we want to know. We don't want to be part of your conspiracy.
But that's not that guy's job.
Well, that's true. No, I understand, but I'm trying to explain the rationale that is being used on the government side, that we want to know that the cash you're coming up with came from a legitimate source.
But it's
that we want to make sure that this is the money that you've been saving up for the last 20 years and keeping under your mattress and now pull out so you can buy this building.
Okay, but that's the idea that that they get to presume suspicion.
Mm-hmm.
That they keep watching you everywhere, that they got to know. Why did the city, instead of you just put in a credit card or cash, which is bad enough in a meter, why do they have to know your license plate now?
Mm-hmm.
Why do they have to know where you are every single minute and know every single transaction that you do money-wise that they want? And you know they're not going to stop until they get there.
No. And in fact, the parking meter right outside the building where I parked this morning, you cannot use cash in that. You have to use the parking app.
You can still use quarters, can't you?
No, not in the one that's right downstairs.
You have to use the app?
You have to use the app. There's not even a place. I didn't even see a place where you could use your credit card.
Yeah, you can always use a credit card.
Okay.
Yeah.
I must be on another side of the machine.
I think if you look real close, you might find a slot for quarters.
Okay, maybe.
No dollars.
Yeah.
And the thing's going to be $8. Mm-hmm. So how many quarters are you going to have in your pocket?
Yeah. You got to carry around a big bank bag with full of quarters.
But if you look at the extension of this,
mm-hmm.
like in my business, okay, you can't just have an email. You got to have a server that comes from a FINRA-approved person, of which there is one, you know, to make sure that I never delete an email from a client.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So we got to hire these guys. And now if you're supposed to do something, there are some people that say if you do a conversation, it ought to be taped. Well, there's no hard rule on that. But we're reaching a point, Brennan, where it will be, I'm going to say 20 years from now, it will be illegal for you and I to talk business without turning our phone on first and having a record of it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet,
well,
I don't want us going.
There is a record of it right now. No matter what kind of a phone you use with the phone companies, they have a record of everything you've said. That's why
I don't think they have a record of the actual conversation. They have a record of who you called.
Okay. Maybe they don't record the actual conversations.
No, they don't. I don't believe so.
But they can tell where you were and where you made the call.
Well, that's
from.
Why you shouldn't text. I mean, why should you ever put business on a text?
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, the point being,
well, in some places it's required that you cannot use text for a lot of the legal procedures.
Well, it's required because nobody wants. I don't text anybody from a client. Mm-hmm. SP futures down 50 cents. NASDAQ futures down 50 cents. Again, Boeing's the big story again today. Now down $12. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control. Right here,
right now, right now. Hello, hello, welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Ali, Mr. Brennan Cornange, Jay-Z on the board. S&P futures now up 5.25. The Nasdaq futures up 575. As we just said, the consumer price index up 0.2%. I've gotten to a point where that number is so useless, Brendan, I can't even begin to go there. And yet we still look at it. It's like the unemployment number. I had another question I had this weekend was, chief, why do people look at this unemployment number? Isn't it kind of a really bad number? I said, the first economics class I ever walked into when I was a sophomore at Notre Dame, the professor said the economic number is crap. Here it is 50 years later, we're still looking at it, or the unemployment number. And anyway, around the rest of the world, we've got... by the way, sterling, the British pound is down a bunch because the lawyers who were looking at this Brexit deal last night, you really couldn't read much of it because they're going to let people review it first. Surprise legal setback, they say. So I'm going to dig into some of that in a second here. Over in Asia, we've got the The Nikkei up 1.8%, 378 points. Shanghai up 133 points. Hang Seng up 417, that's 1.5. In Europe, we've got DAX down 27.2%, FTSE up 12. We got CAC round down 15. So not much going on over there. We'll see if this FTSE reacts to this deal or not, or if it's if the setback is something they can deal with. Who knows? Oil up 27 cents. Brent up 36 cents. And we got gold shooting up 560 this morning. Silver up 13 cents. The dollar versus pound, again, is weakening with the pound coming down. JZ, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
Thanks, Chief. Hello, hello. The time is now 7:35. Chicago weather today is clear and sunny. Need some of that here and there. High today is 49 and low of 29. Phoenix is looking pretty rainy today with a high of 59, low of 53. In basketball, the Suns and Bulls were both off. In NCAA, Gonzaga beat Pepperdine 100-74. And in hockey, the Blackhawks crushed the Coyotes, ending the game 7-1. In traffic, there is one stall on the Kennedy going east at Fullerton now. Other ones cleaned up, but delays are still backed up about 20 minutes. Nothing else. Back to you.
John, how are you?
Doing good. Yourself, Chief?
All right. I hear you've decided to not fly in the new 737 MAX.
Yeah, I'll have to pass. How about you?
I think I'm out, too. I want an old, a DC-8 or something. Something that I know it's been around a while because it hasn't crashed. How's that?
Exactly. And then you see what later on, how the big move down, obviously, yesterday in Boeing, how that affected, at least early on, how it affected the Dow and how much of a component that is to the Dow. So,
well,
how large it is of a component of the Dow.
We were down 40, then we ended up down 20 or so. As the day wore on, it's like, must be some foreign pilot that don't know what he's doing. They're people. It's not the same as if one crash was in L.A. and one was Chicago.
Right.
Because the idea is somehow or another it's operator error. And they blame the first one. Even though I'm not even sure the investigation's finished, they already blamed it on the pilot, right? The liner thing.
Right. How could they even begun to hardly investigate this yet,
Well, the first one, the one a couple of months ago. But right, I mean, right, these right. guys did not miss a beat delivering these planes. I mean, I'm really kind of surprised that people were more concerned after the first one. And Chris, where else are you going to get them?
Well, part of the issue with both crashes so far is whether or not Boeing really told all the pilots and adequately trained them to override this switch if this was a problem, and how to identify the problem when the plane is in flight.
I think you got to fix the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Not just tell somebody in the midst of when you're 3,000 feet off the ground and supposed to be going up and the nose starts going down, which switch to pull. I don't think that's the fix. Just saying.
No, I agree, but it's a training problem as well as having the problem happen in the first place. But even U.S. pilots were saying that they weren't aware of some of these new equipment and these new programs, the anti-stall programs that were built into the new MAX 8.
The whole idea again, I'm speaking for them, of Southwest Air and their efficiency is that I believe all their pilots can fly all their planes.
Mm-hmm.
And now if this plane is going to be appreciably different and with the same numbers on it, I don't know if you ever could. It just seems something strange here. I mean, if it was hiccups to where you got to turn around and fly back or something and land, it's one thing, but crashing is pretty ending. Just saying. The idea that if this is going to continue to happen and you're counting on pilots to override a system 6 minutes up in the air, I don't think that dog hunts. Do you?
No.
I think you gotta fix the plane.
You gotta fix it and make sure that it doesn't happen again, that you can't go into an automatic stall or anti-stall mode in the plane every time you're taking off.
No, I don't think that would work at all. I mean, I think Southwest Air has problems with their other planes. They had 40 amount of commissioners, supposed to have 20.
Well, that theory goes back to what's going on between the mechanics and the airline as a labor issue. that there are always little minor things that, that could be written up, and the mechanics, according to Southwest, the mechanics are overstating problems, and that's causing a lot of those write-ups and a lot of bad publicity. Well, the mechanics are saying that Southwest is pushing them to get the planes back in the air, even if there may be some deficiencies in the airplane structure or programs.
You guys remember, not the listeners do, but you two dudes are old enough. Jay-Z would never remember. You remember flying on Southwest Air like 25, 30 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember this, Jan, but back then they always flew the 737s, but they had like the 200s. And the 200s couldn't make it. Well, I guess you sort of could, but I'm not so sure the 200s could actually make it like from here to Vegas or here to L.A. So they were more on short hops. Southwest Air would have, it always stopped someplace.
Mm-hmm.
So the first time I flew them to Vegas, we stopped in, Tulsa and some other place. But you have this idea that these stops, oh, my God, it's going to take forever. If you had one stop, it was like, it couldn't have been like 20 minutes, a half hour longer.
Yeah, they were really quick on their turnarounds at the stop. But the reason that Southwest used to go to all those small cities is that they didn't go into the big airports. Like, they didn't go into O'Hare, they went into Midway.
Right, they wanted no part of the big places. And so I remember we had a client in Scottsdale, John, and he said you could always tell the Southwest gates because there were skid marks. Literally, we landed in Tulsa, and the guy's got to be doing 65 miles an hour on the ground, like gunning over to the thing. And sure enough, the thing screeches to a halt. The people are already getting up that are getting off in Tulsa. Right, they slam the thing, the jetway up, off they go. The next people are coming in, they're looking for stuff up on the top. They already pull the guy's already backing up, and not everybody's sitting down. And the stewardesses are going, "Hey, please take a seat pretty soon, like we're already moving." I mean, there was none of this checking seat belts, anything like that. I mean, the thing was actually moving before people even sat down and had their seat, and nobody cared. It was a whole different world. I mean, now, everybody make sure you're seated before the thing pulls back and a lady runs down and make sure that everyone, a guy, and make sure everybody got their seatbelt on. They didn't do any of that. I mean, you literally, it was like a bus stop. You pulled in, and did you guys ever fly People's Express?
Oh, I remember People's Express. I think I flew it one time.
They became,
and I was scared.
What did they become? They became the big Continental United terminal out there was originally the People's Express terminal in Newark, I believe.
Hmm.
Those guys, you made a reservation, you didn't pay till you got on the plane. Looks like a bus. And so you look at this, Jan. You got on, you sat down, you picked your seat, and they came down the aisle with a cash register. You could either pay with it. You could have bought the ticket in advance, in which case you give them the ticket. Otherwise, you give them a credit card, or you could fish out cash, including, like, change. And then they would give you, it was $48.50. You give them $50, they'd give you a buck and a half back with the cash register going down the aisle. Can you imagine getting on a plane, having a reservation, not paying for a ticket yet? This wasn't that long ago. I mean,
that doesn't sound to me like a very good business plan. So
you know what? They were all right for a little while. It was before you had the security and everything. You worried about stuff. I mean, who was going to blow up a People's Express? Who was on it other than the people that should have been on the Greyhound bus, like even me, type of thing? All right, John. So yesterday just kind of showed me again that if we're going down, you can't get in the way. If we're going up, you can't get in the way. I mean, we just have these days where we go flying way up, and then we have a day we go flying way down, and
and you can't predict them, and you can't predict them.
No, so now we'll probably, do not much for a couple of days, and then we'll pick a direction and have another big move day. I mean, who can figure out which day it's going to be? And I think we might push to the upside here a little bit more, but we're just talking to Joel. Is it possible to trade Boeing here, or what do you tell a client in Boeing right now? I mean,
Hopefully you've been talking to them all along, and they were somewhat protected, Tom.
The stocks had nothing but a run-up. Why would you protect it? I mean, come on.
Exactly. I'm fortunate enough that I don't have any folks that own any of it. So.
No, we don't either. Dan might have a couple, but it's still way up from... wasn't this the stock that was going to get, eviscerated by Trump when he came in? He was going to take care of the F-35 program, and he was going to cut across the Air Force went down, and all of a sudden the lady makes three visits to Washington, and now they're the most favorite company in the place, right?
Well, that's exactly it, and, yeah, I mean, you know, obviously way off of the highs, but that thing is, you know, it's had such a big move anyhow, but that's what people will moan about, obviously, if, you know how much they lost from the top there.
Well, if these guys, if there is a grounding, I wonder if people are going to, if they're grounding essentially, how can I put this? Does that mean that the sales will stop, Brendan?
Well, it depends on how many flights are, how many planes are delivered at any given month. You know, when they talk about how many planes are under contract, those planes will be delivered over the next 5 years. So there may be a temporary halt.
Well, they're delivering 57 over. They plan on getting a 57 a month deliveries. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're all Air Max, 737 Maxes, but let me rephrase the question.
But I think that they would stop delivery of those that are, have not yet been delivered.
Well, that's my point. I believe that when you buy a plane from Boeing, they don't deliver it. You go get it.
Mm-hmm.
So somehow, you know, I imagine you fly out to wherever Washington or someplace, wherever you're picking it up. There's like a place, you know, on the tarmac where you go and essentially pay for the plane. I mean, granted, most people, you know, borrow the money, but the check is there for Boeing. You know, here's your $200 million for the plane I just bought, or whatever the hell they cost. And I think your pilots get in it and go. Now, my question is, are those guys grounded as well, or is it just passengers? In other words, could you deliver it if it's grounded?
I don't know the answer to that. I would think from a liability standpoint, they would not turn the plane over to the new airlines.
Right, so if even at Boeing size, if you start backing this up 2-3 months at 50 planes a month, you're running a cash flow problem. It's not because Boeing's got so much cash, but it's not like they're too big that if it ran into 5 months, they don't have a problem. And you got to help them if you got to actually bring those planes back there to get fixed.
Yeah.
That would be a real problem. I don't know. Has there ever been a problem that big? I don't think that I've ever heard of one like that. You got to bring them back to the assembly plant to get fixed. You mean, they're all usually fixed in the field,
mm-hmm.
no matter what it is.
Well, then, like, if this turns out to be a malfunction with the program, the anti-stall program, I think they would be able to fly them back here to get the program fixed, but they would just shut them off when they were taking off, and they would probably
bring
them back.
You should be able to plug into it in a plane.
Maybe. I don't know.
See how high-tech I sounded with that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, John just plug those little thingies there, and then you go and fix it.
Plus, you got to do the paperwork.
That's reasonable.
Yeah. Plus, you got to do the paperwork. Oh, yeah. I just, you know, it's a glitch. I just, I'm gonna try and stay away from the stock, though, John. I don't know. Whatever announcements come out, I feel like I'm going to be a little late on it, so I don't know if I want to trade it. What do you make of this, the Brexit deal done last night, as I was trying to research, but there was no details on it. Not as tomorrow as this morning, there's a legal setback. Hard to trade that one, too.
Yeah, there's, you know, all these type of things have been very difficult to trade, and like you and I always harp, that's why we just keep going, you know, the same path, keep protecting these people with these indices and things like that. You know, if anything, I've been a little tentative on the calls, taking it a little bit, you know, further out, giving it some room after this pullback. About the only change I've made, Tom.
Yeah, me too. I've the only one I'm getting caught on a little bit is Apple. I mean, it was, God, you know, the stock was 155. Now it's 180. It's only, what, 5 weeks ago?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm up to the 180s, but if the thing keeps moving, I'm going to be chasing. You know, maybe it'll just stall out here and I'll be fine, but, yeah, I don't know. I mean, these things, you know, how does, nobody likes it, it's 155. All of a sudden, everybody likes it, it's 180. I mean, it's a big difference.
Right. You know, everybody, you know, they only love it at 180, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I honestly don't believe that these kinds of movements are the signs of a very healthy market or a very orderly market. 400-point days and kind of nothing one way or the other. I don't know that, and if you know, you could make the argument yesterday was just an extreme bear market rally, or you could say it means that all last week was just a minor correction. We're off to the races again, and we won't know until the future, right? I mean, it's any stocks you particularly like, and do you think gold came back a little bit? Now it's back up today. That it's off to the races again, or we should take our chance to get out here or sell some calls?
Yeah, no, same thing on that. I had a couple that I was getting that were a little too tight there, and that little pullback helped get all that aligned for me. But now I think that's going to start moving again, Tom.
Really?
And yeah, also
1,400 in the cards and the gold, or no?
Pardon me?
Is 1,400 in the cards and gold, or no? Too high?
I think it's probably too high, but I think we're going to have a little bit of more movement, in the upward direction. But I think we're going to have these periodic pullbacks, especially in the gold. We're going to have these periodic pullbacks like this.
Do you have any individual stacks? We've been playing a couple. Nothing major. When I say we got along with a late EM yesterday, I don't know, not very long, just a little bit. We did okay in that. The stack? The stack bothers me because they took the name of Cloudera. We made a few bucks on that one, and a time spread, not a vertical spread. But
right.
I mean, some of these stacks, these cloud stacks, and some of these things were, some of the new clients are kind of into them. So I've been researching them a little bit. Got everybody in the world thinks they're a cloud stack.
Oh yeah. I mean, you could. Basically, you have Salesforce. Is a cloud stock.
Well, that's a crowded trade, though, Jen. That's a crowded trade. That's a crowded trade. Everybody in the world. If you ask 100 people about cloud stocks, 99 of them say Salesforce.
Yeah, and that's the biggie, and it goes down from there to the one that like my wife uses, Dropbox. Which is a personal one that you just store stuff on. I mean, obviously, Amazon's in it, Google's in it, and, list goes on and on, Very, very, deep end, and I'm no, expert on whose services are better than the next, So.
Well, I promised this guy I'd put him in five, one of the clients, and so far I got him in Cisco and Cloudera. I'd like to get him in Microsoft, but the thing never goes down to where I can buy it. I think they're okay in there, too. I'm almost tempted. IBM? Yes, no, maybe not. I don't know. I mean, I can't bring myself to do Salesforce because I'm just one of a bunch of, the whole world's in that one.
Right. No, I'm not in it at all, but as far as technology in general, Tom, I've written it up. I'm in Square, which is the, payment company, but I've been in that for years now. Microsoft. Another one I've been in for years, as far as my tech picks, that kind of stuff. Those two have been.
Would you brand?
Well, has done well. I've got a little bit of Apple too.
If I were to try and sell Microsoft as a cloud stack, would I be wrong, or is it enough in there, or is it cloud such a small piece of it, and it's really not a cloud stack?
Not in this sense. I think they're involved in it somewhat, but not in the sense like that we're talking about. Some of these other things.
Yeah, that's why I was kind of dodging on the Amazon as well. I mean, it's an up and comer in there, but it's what, 10% of their business? It's hard to.
Right. Well, and then you mentioned Cisco's. I mean, the same thing there. I think that, going into this new generation, this new internet generation is the big deal with Cisco more so than quote unquote the cloud.
They're trying to weasel their way in there for sure. I mean, anybody who has excess capacity essentially is a cloud stock, right?
Right. That's essentially all that is, right? So,
I mean, it depends. If I don't know, Brendan, if you listen when Kevin's on, because Kevin did all that stuff when he was at Better World Books, and because they would have to, come September, which was their busy season, or Christmas, they would have to outsource a lot of their computer capacity,
mm-hmm.
And he said it's actually. The nice part is for Amazon and people like that is chances are you're already using them for something. So you just say, okay, well, I'm already doing my orders through them, or I'm doing something through them, or Google or someplace where you just you use them because it's available and it's not that big of a deal. He said, but if you actually know what's coming and you're a firm the size like Better World Books, because there's people in Indiana everywhere that have a, just a rack of servers somewhere that'll sell you cloud space. So it's actually, if you know, you, if you're a professional, when I say a professional, you know, if you have a business where you have, you know you have, you know, X number of computer capacity, but 3 months a year you need more, you can go get that, especially in advance, very competitively. You don't need, I mean, Amazon is not making, you know, 100% margin on that, because you can get it from the guy down the block, basically. I mean, not, you know, a little bit of an exaggeration, but there's different levels to this, and you don't have to be Amazon to be in the cloud. You can be, you know, Mickey the server factory. And so it's a very broad brush kind of a thing. He said, but Amazon does have an advantage, or Google or somebody that's already in your place, or even Cisco. If you got all your routers and stuff from them, and whatever you do from them, they're already in there, so they're the natural spot. You know, it's like, you know, getting an oil change, or your brake's done in the same place you always get the oil change, type of thing. So I don't know if that, so everybody sort of is in it, yeah, but those guys have a big advantage, I think, over the smaller places, because basically, John, you and I aren't professionals, and we need extra computer stuff, and we're selling, you know, cameras out of our store. I gotta believe we'll probably go at Amazon. I mean, they're already in there, right?
Well, yeah, absolutely, and, if you're, that level, those are the type of people you're going to immediately think about for these type of services. You know, not delve extremely deep into it, I wouldn't think.
So I'm asking you to give me my other three stocks, and so far you've been a little closed-mouthed about that.
Well, I'm not sure which ones you're looking at there. But,
I'll sound like one of the rubes on TV. I want a stock that nobody's ever heard about, that I'm the only guy getting in. They have solid management. Have 48 years of raising their dividend every month, and solid people and huge cash position. Then you say to somebody, well, name me 10 stocks like that, and they go, I can't name any.
And it hasn't run up yet.
Yeah, it hasn't run up yet.
More importantly, it hasn't run up yet.
You know, that I'm the only one that knows about. Yeah, okay.
Right.
I'm going to keep researching them, because a lot of them don't have options. A lot of them are kind of smaller. I actually like Microsoft for a lot of reasons, so I just can't ever seem to get a dip in there where I want to get in.
Right. That's been a real bellwether for a lot of reasons for me for many years, to be honest with you. So.
One other one we've been trying to fight our way into, you know anything about GE? What do you think here?
I've got a few people holding a little bit of it, but it's, you know, because they've had it forever and a day, so not a ton to answer your question.
There's some opportunity around individual stacks, Jan, and I don't usually go that route, but I'm looking. I've only got a couple of spots, but I will keep everybody apprised if I find something good, because that's not usually what I do. But anyway, so what do you think? So gold, you're in. You want to stay in? What about oil?
I think both. I think a little bit more enamored with gold at this point. You know, than the fuels right now. I think we'll have a steady move with these little pullbacks and the precious metals going forward.
By the way, did you watch the...
I've been playing a little bit with copper, too, so using...
Really?
Kind of the proxy of Freeport. So.
You're using Freeport?
You
find that still as good of a proxy now that they bought the gold company?
Well, still kind of the move different than gold, but yeah, I know what you're saying, that they're pretty gold-heavy these days, but it still, you know, acts like just the copper producer. I've done pretty well. The options aren't the greatest on it, but I've been able to hedge it a little bit, though.
By the way, I know you're more of a Penguin fan, but your Arizona team didn't look so hot last night. And it saves the Hawks still have a life.
Right. Well, and the other thing, and the surprising thing, I thought they were really going to be, you know, totally in the doldrums this year. They're fighting for a playoff spot. So
the best player you got is the guy you got from the Hawks.
Exciting.
Well, the guy the Hawks couldn't afford to lose, Hennis Stroz, is one of your best guys.
Right. Well, exactly.
If he was on the Hawks,
there was a pretty young team. And the sad part, though, is they have they can't generate much interest here, even with you know, coming up on the playoffs and, you know, and having a, you know, run to the playoffs, hopefully. They just can't generate any interest.
So they do not sell out, is what you're saying?
No.
Not even close?
Not even close. You could walk up and darn near get a ticket on the glass, to be honest.
So the place holds 20 and you get 8? Is it that bad?
It's that bad.
Really? So you don't have you don't have a PTI skybox, is what you're telling me.
No. Well, it's funny you say that because, you know, they were calling me, you know, just, you know, as an individual, not even as PTI, just, you know, hey.
Oh, God, if they knew you were PTI. You know, games. Well, the Irish were all over me to get big tickets up on the thing, and I said, you guys are out of your mind. Anyway, S&P futures right. Up 5.25. NASDAQ futures up 5.25. Dow down, big story, and the Dow is Boeing now down 1181. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.